Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard Kids. We made it. Maybe Saturday morning for you. You made that too. You know, I see these celebrations for Fridays. Fridays don't mean a whole lot to me other than the fact it's the last recording day of the week. And I get a 2-day reprieve from the show. Not that I don't mind doing the show, but they do take a lot of time. And days like today, you kind of move it around a little bit and waiting on a second baseball commitment today. So I don't know if that's going to happen right away, but I got to get a show done for you guys. So here we are. Let me go ahead and give the applicable trigger warning to this show before we get too deep in it. We're going to talk about some uncomfortable things today that not necessarily have to do with Mississippi State in our first segment. It's just something that's been laid upon my heart, and I want to talk about it. I think there's a learning experience here for all of us. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about our official visit weekend preview. We'll talk about some baseball recruiting stuff and a pretty cool top 10. Had a listener submission of an artist that I'm somewhat familiar with, but kind of getting to know him a little bit more. And so somebody made a request. They've chosen to remain anonymous. And I said, tell you what, I don't know that I could do this list justice, but I like a little bit of what I've heard. Why don't you put a list together for me? So we're going to go with your list. And they told me, don't give me any grief about their list, because it is, in fact, their list. It is my show, so I reserve the right to give lip to anybody I want to. But in this case, we're going to go with their list. All right? Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and they love us back. How cool is that, right? It's such a mutually beneficial relationship. The Eat With Us group has served us so many years, man, in the Golden Triangle. You know, we've done so many things there. We've taken dates there. We've maybe done rehearsal dinners there. We've done celebration stuff. I mean, you know, it's been a company that has been with us when we've needed them. I remember back during COVID, there was so much going on. They kind of perfected the to-go order. They did. So if you need lunch in a hurry and you need to get it to go, Bulldog Burger Company is the place to go. Now, whether you're looking for a lunch with colleagues or a night out with friends, Bulldog Burger Company can cure what ails you. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. You'll be glad you did. They make you and everybody around you better looking. Get a fine restaurant quality hamburger. You'll enjoy that. It's one of the fine delicacies that we afford ourselves in life. Find your own favorites. Could be the Smokehouse, could be Pimentology, could be the Freshman 15, could be the Bryant, the Lauren. There's a lot to choose from. So again, find your own favorites. 3 great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And as always, get those spring rolls. Don't hesitate to do that. Some of you, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be in your friend here. You need some spring rolls in your life. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, ordinarily, I kind of save some of the, we save some of the loving stuff or the life stuff for later in the show. But I wanted to get this in early just because of the fact that some of you may not make it to the end of the show. Some of you may not like what I'm about to say. Some of you will like what I've got to say. I think everybody needs to think about what I have to say. Here's the first question I want to ask you, and of course it's rhetorical because I can't hear your answer, but we will pause for emphasis sake. But how would you feel if the biggest secrets you have were made public? And I mean really public. How would you feel? That's where you answer. And maybe that's just like a moment of contemplation. Maybe you've never considered that aspect of things. A lot of people think they're too slick, too smart to get caught, but things happen. And the more secrets you have and the more co-conspirators you have, the more likely you are that somebody is going to blab. It's true. And you know it's true. You know, it's like people say, you know, the best co-conspirators to have are people that have just as much to lose as you. Well, more times than not, what happens is people become unevenly yoked in a secret with somebody who may not have anything to lose. That's a bad position to be in if you're a person who likes to keep secrets. And I'm a firm believer, I picked this up years ago in recovery, is that you're only as sick as your secrets. Because there's always that fear, right? Even if you think that I have plausible deniability, that I'm covered here, I haven't put anything in writing, there's no witnesses, there's always that fear. Because if somebody else knows, they have something to hold over your head. And even if you're no longer aligned with that person, they still have this juicy secret about you. And somehow it gets out. And you know the source of that. It doesn't take you long to kind of figure it out. You see, hey, only a couple people knew. So this is where the problem is. The problem is you can no longer contain it. I remember the great movie, The Enemy Within, with Forrest Whitaker. He made a great line I've always remembered. You know, he said, that's the thing about people, is they have trouble believing accusations, but they'll believe a confession from almost anybody. So you have to be mindful of that as you live your life. And at the end of the day, we all have secrets. I have secrets, you have secrets. They may not all be nefarious, but chances are you got some secrets you really don't want to get out there. Maybe you don't want your work friends to know, or your church friends to know, or your golfing buddies, or your girls' night crew, even though they probably have some of your secrets already in mind. But at the end of the day, there are some things that we don't tell anybody else. That's one of the things about recovery that I love, is I've got, you know, some people that I can tell anything to. Not that I have a lot to confess these days. But it makes me sad to think there are people out there living life that they're so bottled up and so pent up with frustration when it comes to secrets, they don't know where to turn. So there's a ton of fear involved in all of that. I mean, think about your own life. I don't know your secrets, but I know many of the secrets of others. In working in recovery as long as I have, there are some secrets of other people that I will take to my grave. And I can tell you, the one certainty that I know in life is that there are monsters that are real. True story. So I bring this up for a couple reasons. The first is, many of you are aware of the scandal surrounding Michael Tate. Now, Michael Tate, of course, a former member of DC Talk and the front man for Newsboys for the last 15 years or so. Some allegations have come out. Michael has been very forthright and said that these are, quote, mostly true. He has had an addiction to cocaine. He has had some inappropriate sexual activity. Those are kind of his words. That conflict with his espoused beliefs. And it has rocked a lot of people. And there have been a lot of comments made. And so I thought I'd make mine here. The first that I will tell you is that Michael Tate is a flawed individual, just like the rest of us. And a lot of times, we put people on pedestals, and we think that perhaps that they're immune from day-to-day problems. I mean, I wish that I had faith like that. I wish that I had character like that. And then we find out that they're just regular people with a better job, that they succumb to the same temptations that we do. And I've read with a modicum of disgust, a lot of the people being overly critical of Michael Tate. And again, let me tell you, Mike screwed up. He is going to pay a very heavy price for it, as he should. But I love Michael Tate. And I know that his life still has value. I know what it's like to have nothing left to lose. And that's where he is today. And so I feel sorry for everybody involved, you know, the alleged victims. And I'm not discounting what they've had to say. Of course, Michael Tate has confirmed that much of that is true. But I thought we would have a discussion about this today for a couple reasons. The thing that strikes me about all of this, and again, I have been in a similar situation, but nowhere near this level, and thank goodness for that. But I understand the place where Michael Tate finds himself, where you feel that perhaps you're so far away from where you need to be that any step you take is in the right direction. And it's been a very public situation. And the thing that I have learned about love is you find out who really loves you when your life falls apart. There are a lot of people that will tell you, I'll do anything to help you, just let me know, until you actually need something. It's just lip service. It is. I hate to sound so pessimistic about life, but that's the truth of the matter. There are a lot of people that just tell you certain things because it's social custom. It's the right thing to say. They don't really mean it. They just say it. And maybe it makes them feel better to say it. But it's not worth anything. And one of the things that I'll share with you too is that I love people without restrictions. Because I have been a person that struggled to find love. And I don't mean the romantic kind. You know, in the depths of my own despair, I found out who my people really were. It's a very sobering reality, pardon the pun. But you find out who's really in your corner. And I think there is a learning part of this for all of us. The thing that I would say is that if you love people with some sort of condition, and I don't mean the romantic love, right? Because there are conditions, right? You may still love somebody. You just may not be with them anymore. There's the price of poker that everybody has to pay, right? Everybody has to ante up and say, I won't do this. I won't do that. I'll be loyal. I'll be faithful. And not everybody holds up that end of the deal. As you all know, many of you have dealt with that. I would suggest that probably all of us at some point, at some level, have dealt with that. But when you love somebody as a friend, as a brother, as a sister, you may not approve of their actions. But if it impacts your ability to love them, then I would offer that maybe you don't really love them. You may like them a lot, and you may tell them that you love them until they begin to act in a way that perhaps you don't agree with. And again, there's a difference between like and love. I love Michael Tate. I don't know Michael Tate personally, but I love Michael Tate. I love him as someone that has been part of the soundtrack of my life for, goodness, nearly 40 years. I love the good that he's done in life. I hate the decisions that he's made. I hate some of the behavior that he has exhibited, but I love him. I absolutely love Michael Tate. And one of the things that I think is very disillusioning to people is how can the forgiven be so less forgiving? Now, that may step on some toes, and that's okay. I got my boots on today, so I hope it hurts a little more than usual. Yeah, I am a guy that I still have enemies from back in the day. I got some new ones, too. Some of them I've earned. Some people just don't like you for no good reason at all, and that's just life. But I got people that I hurt over 30 years ago that has still not forgiven me. Now, I've asked for forgiveness. I've done my best to make amends. And that's all that I can do. But when I look at what Michael Tate, the good that he has done in his life, and I look at this situation here, I think, what is the value of our love if we're not willing to love somebody at their worst? What is the value of our love if we're not willing to love somebody when the rest of the world deems them unlovable? I'd venture to say that our love isn't worth much. If we cannot love people as they are, rather than as we would have them to be, I would say that maybe we struggle to know what love truly is. I love Michael Tate. I value his life. And if I woke up tomorrow morning and found out that he had killed himself or died in a drug overdose, I would be heartbroken. I have a cousin, that works in contemporary Christian music. And I say this not in any way to shine a light on myself, but maybe perhaps to set a bit of an example. I have reached out to Michael Tate through my cousin. And I told him, I said, here, you know me, you know my path to recovery, and you know my heart. And even if it's an email address or a phone number or whatever, I want Michael to know that somebody loves him. And I want Michael to know that he's not alone. And I want Michael to know that his life is not over. Now, I also have a heart for these victims. And some of the things that I've read, you know, not going to judge them, but I think they've made some poor decisions too. And sometimes you choose the behavior, you choose the consequence. I'm not saying that anybody's deserving of anything that happened. That's not what I'm trying to suggest. But there are no winners in this. Everybody loses. Everybody. I would venture to say that the people involved in all this, they wish it had never happened too. But I guess the central point in all of this is that when I examine myself and I examine my own shortcomings, who am I to sit in judgment of anybody else? Well, I'm not qualified to take their inventory. And neither are you. And so I read these things online, and some of it infuriates me. It truly does. There are a lot of people that speak for the church that have no business speaking for the church. And I've read the statement from the Newsboys, and to be honest, I'm disappointed in them too. I am. Also love those guys too. They're hurting too. Maybe not at the level that Michael Tate is hurting, but they're hurting too. And this is the second time that they have had a singer that has kind of gone astray. And so maybe I would suggest that maybe these guys aren't doing a very good job vetting their singers. But also I've learned that they were aware of some of this behavior and kind of looked the other way because of the, quote, machine. Thinking about their own families and their own bank accounts and things of that nature. It's like, hey, you know, we got to keep the train rolling. And here is what I would say, as least judgmental as I can, because it's going to come across a little judgy. And I don't mean it to be judgy, right? I don't mean that, but it's going to sound judgy. If those guys really loved Michael Tate, they would have held him accountable long before now. They would have said, hey, Mike, this is unacceptable. You can't be out here doing cocaine. You can't be out here involved in things that differ from the message we're trying to deliver. And I submit to you that the guys in Newsboys should have fired Michael Tate. If they loved him and had given him an ultimatum, this is where the rubber meets the road, Mike, and he was unwilling to meet those conditions, then they should have fired him. And found another singer. And so when you accept the behavior, the negative behavior, because you benefit from that financially, it's kind of difficult for me to accept your apology. Not that they need my acceptance, but I think that's an important aspect of this thing too. And so if there are people around you that are maybe engaged in behavior that is beneath their morals or perhaps contrary to what they profess to be, if you love them, you need to hold them accountable. I am all about accountability. Period. And some people, well, it's not my place to say anything. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is your place to say something. If you love somebody and you believe they're going down a destructive path, it's absolutely your place and your responsibility. What kind of friend are you? I'm just going to sit back and watch you destroy your life? That's not friendship. Not in any way whatsoever. And so I share these things today from my heart, because these are the things that I believe to be true. If you love somebody, you have to love them where they are, warts and all. But you also have to love them enough to tell them the truth. And who's to say that we won't survive the truth? What if, with the gift of hindsight, right? Had you gone back and said, hey, Mike, this is unacceptable, and if you don't get help, we're going to dismiss you from the band. What if that had been the wake-up call that Michael Tate needed and would have prevented other people from getting injured? You know, so some of the responsibility falls around them. Everybody is responsible for their own actions, but let's not exonerate the enablers. And I don't want you to be an enabler either. There are a lot of people out there that just kind of keep their mouth shut to keep the peace. And it's so interesting, too. I mean, people, there's so many people that just couldn't wait. You know, that's the thing. Like, I read this stuff out here from other contemporary Christian acts. I've read some of this stuff online where it's like, well, everybody knew. Well, you know, how credible are you? So if you knew, why didn't you say something? Why did you allow this to continue? And then you see these comments from some of these people that have scriptures in their bio, and they're just absolutely blasting Michael Tate. And again, some of that is warranted, right? But I see all of this. It's like some people simply could not wait for him to stumble so they could attack. What kind of life is that? It's like, oh yeah, it all comes out. I can't wait for the day. If you really love somebody as your brother, why not admonish them as your brother? I think I've read that somewhere in the Bible before. I'm confident that I have, right? And so I don't want to get all religious today, but I thought because of the fact that this was happening, that it was worthy of discussion. And I can tell you, I deal with people in active addiction just about every day. Just about every single day. And some of the things that they have done and behaviors that they have exhibited would make your skin crawl. Because that's where addiction takes you. Addiction takes you to a place you never wanted to stay. It makes you stay longer than you ever wanted to. It's a true story. And it costs more than you'll ever want to pay. And you see Michael Tate now, costing him his career and basically his life's work. One of the messages that I sent in hopes of reaching Michael is something that I've shared with you guys before. We cannot change the past, but perhaps we can change what it means. Now, amends have to be made. You know, and I venture to say that there are most people in the CCM industry would never take Michael again as a client. Many of you would probably never pay to see him play again. And you know what? That's fair. Not saying we should excuse the behavior. And again, I open this segment saying he should be held accountable for it. I believe in accountability, but I also believe in forgiveness. And as a guy that had so many people to apologize to and so many amends to make, I can tell you it is so incredibly daunting. I remember thinking my second or third night in rehab after I'd gotten off IV drip that the road home just seemed to be too arduous. And what you do is you pick up your what's left of your life and you put it in your pockets and you put your boots on and you take the next step. You suit up, you show up, you try to do the next right thing. And I've had this discussion today with my sons about how important it is to protect your name. And that when you do get in trouble, to reach out to people that love you. Because eventually these things come out. And it's important for everybody involved to understand that. And there are some secrets, right, that'll be kept. But when you've got secrets with people who are unevenly yoked, at some point it comes out. At some point somebody's got a story to sell. Somebody's got an axe to grind. And there's just so much of this that it just makes me sad. It makes me sad for Michael. It makes me sad for the other people involved. It makes me sad for all the people who depended on him to do the right thing. It makes me sad for how many people may become somewhat disenfranchised over it all. And so, you know what? I just can't believe anymore. I would encourage you to not adopt that philosophy and focus on the shepherd and less on the sheep, right? So those are my feelings about it. Some of you may disagree, and that's perfectly okay. I am perfectly okay with you having a difference of opinion. But I approach all of this out of love because I don't live my life hoping for the hero to stumble so I can cast stones to make myself feel better. And at the core, that's what a lot of this is about. A lot of it is about jealousy. A lot of it is about, hey, look at what I'm doing and look at what I'm receiving. And here this guy is out here maybe cutting some corners and doing some things that are contrary to his espoused beliefs. And he's more successful than me. And there is a reckoning for all of that. But I just find that, as a friend of mine texted me the other day that living with hate on my shoulders is too heavy a burden. That love is much lighter. And it is. And I think about the fact that this is a person whose life has been destroyed by their own hand. Michael Tate's not a victim. I'm not going to paint him as such. And he is worthy of some of the criticism. But at the end of the day, is a guy that has been at the bottom in some respects, kind of philosophically speaking. I think it is important for us to remind each other that there is life after loss. And that takes on a variety of flavors, right? Whether it may be death or divorce or bankruptcy or whatever. There is life after that. Life is long if we allow it to be. And there's a part of me I just can't even begin to imagine. For the last 6 months, he's tried to live a life of recovery, knowing at some point this was coming out, knowing at some point he would be held accountable, knowing at some point he was going to have to make some sort of statement. And I can't begin to imagine where he is today. And so I share that with you because I think it's important. We're going to talk about a lot of sports stuff on this show, but occasionally I think we got to talk about some things that perhaps are a little more important. And in my heart, this was one of them. Let's take some time to thank our friend Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Blair makes this show possible. Love Blair. Traded some text with him yesterday. Busy as always, but he's always got room for you. If you're looking to buy a new home or perhaps refinance your current home, Blair Chandler is a name to know. Visit closewithblair.com. Blair's been working in that industry 24 years. Get his knowledge and expertise working for you, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. There is no name to know like Blair Chandler. Phone number 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. There's a life hack, too, for you first-time homebuyers. Get the pre-qualification letter so you're not shopping above your means. Really makes things a lot easier. You don't waste a lot of time looking at homes that perhaps maybe you can't afford at this point. You know, there's no point in you buying a home and then having to work a couple of overtime shifts to pay for it all. You never have any time to enjoy being home. Let Blair Chandler help you make an informed decision about your mortgage needs. Again, visit closewithblair.com. Time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by Kalito Guitars. They just re-upped us again. How about that? Hey guys, I need you to make Kalito Guitars your guitar center. Pardon the pun there. Based out of Lake Jackson, Texas, Kalito Guitars, owned and operated by Bulldog people, and even the grandsons work there. Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's a family operation. It's a Mississippi State family operation. I believe in keeping business in the family. So whether you're looking for a beginner guitar or a professional guitar, they can accommodate you and have everything in between. So whether you need a gig bag, a case, an acoustic, an electric, a classical, cables, anything you need related to guitars, you can find at Kalito Guitars. They're going to give you some incentive to do business with them. Use promo code BSR. You know it well. If you know this show, you know the code, BSR. That gets you a 10% discount on your purchase, no matter how big or how small. Gets you free shipping. Gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And a 5% donation of your purchase price will be given to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. How great is that? You're helping Mississippi State. You're getting a quality instrument, name brand instrument from Kalito Guitars, helping a Mississippi State business. Guys, it is a win-win-win situation. So whether you're looking to upgrade your rig or maybe to surprise the guitar player in your life, this is the way to go. KalitoGuitars.com. Visit them today. All right, we had a user submission, and I have double-checked on this. Many of you, I suspect, like this artist. Now, we play one of these songs at Duty Noble Field during baseball, so you may be somewhat familiar. This artist has been somewhat irreverent and at times has invoked some social media criticism for some of his antics. But it's Gavin Adcock, 26 years of age, and he's kind of taken Nashville by storm. The thing that I will say, too, listening to some of this, too, you can tell that he is a guy from the South, actually played football at Georgia Southern University. How about that? Spent some time working on the family cattle farm. His dream was to be a bull rider, right? How about that? So this is a guy that is actually a real cowboy. You know, some people are all hat and no cattle. He's all cattle and no hat. Occasionally you'll see him with one, but kind of got that feathered look. And some of the ladies like, especially some small-town Mississippi folks. But here we are, your top 10 list of Gavin Adcock songs. Now, while I did not completely compile the list, I am endorsing this list. There's one song on here that's not in my top 10, and that's your number 8 track. I think it's a little bit of a clunker. But number 10 is My Dear Darling. My Dear Darling, it's great. I think you'll enjoy that one. One of my favorites. Now, our submission said, I'm going to put this farther on the list because it has some language. You know, we're not adverse to that. You know, we're not going to let it run us off. But I would probably have this song in my top 4, but it's Deep End. Great track, very relatable. Think you'll enjoy that. Now, the one that I disagreed with, but again, I asked this user to submit their list. We're going to go with them. Number 8, Four Leaf Clover. I think it's just okay. I don't think it's a top 10 track, and this guy's got a huge catalog considering he's only been in the industry a few years. But there you go. Number 7, another one that I'd probably have a little higher. It's A Cigarette. And basically what it's talking about, you know, he's a little bit miserable, you know, and he's like, hey, I'd like to be with you. I'd like to have, but it's right now a cigarette will do. Number seven. Number six, mugshot. And it kind of plays upon this whole image. And I think there is some authenticity. I think Gavin Adcock is the real deal. You know, I think he is a guy that, you know, maybe he's not quite as talented as some of his contemporaries, but I believe there is some authenticity to what he's got going on. Number five, need to. Think you'll enjoy that one too. A lot of his stuff's about relationships and about getting into relationships or out of relationships. And a lot of that relationship type stuff is very relatable because at some point we all have relationships. Number four, Sweetheart. Pretty straightforward type song. And again, there's a lot of diversity in the catalog. There's some good timing stuff. There's some running around stuff. Something for everybody. Number three, and this gives us a chance to pay tribute to our Mississippi farmers. I grew up the son of a Mississippi farmer myself. My dad grew up on a dairy farm in Jones County, Mississippi, off Augusta Road. Anybody down there named Robertson and Rousey are my kinfolks. Love being back in Ellisville when we get the opportunity. The older you get, the busier you get. You don't always have time to get back home. But that's what my dad called home for many years before he enrolled at Mississippi State University. And wanted me and my family to have a better life. And he got an education at Mississippi State, and then he went to work for the United States Department of Agriculture in what used to be called Farmers Home and eventually Rural Development. You know, everything goes through a name change. But my dad wanted to do what he could to make life easier on Mississippi farmers because that's who he cared about, and that's who I care about. And so for all of you out there farming this great land of ours that helped clothe us and feed us, we don't say thank you enough. So I'm saying it now. On behalf of at times a very ungrateful people, we appreciate your sacrifice. We understand that the quality of your life often is only as good as the return on your crop come harvest time. So thank you. And Old Farm Drive goes out to you. Our number three song today, Old Farm Drive. Number two, it's Ain't No Cure. And that could take on a lot of different dynamics. But it's probably a song you know. But number one, love this one. And have heard it in baseball parks around the country this year. And some of you that know Gavin Adcock probably know what song we're talking about. It's Run Your Mouth. And there's a lot of that. A lot of people that run their mouth. A lot of people that are all talking, no action. And there's a lot of people that I know that when it's all said and done, there will be more said than done. I think you could probably put that label on a lot of people you know too. You know, I like to get out and do things and to accomplish things. A lot of other people just like to talk about things. So nevertheless, rather than talk about your aspirations, why don't we talk about your accomplishments? Don't tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you're doing. How about that? So there you go. Run Your Mouth. And again, occasionally we do get some outside submissions. Again, this person is asked to remain anonymous. I don't know. Maybe they're ashamed to let people know they're a Gavin Adcock fan. I don't know. But this was their list. And again, we appreciate the contribution and appreciate everybody that listens to this show and certainly those that support Top 10 Lists. If you have an idea for the Top 10 List, reach out. Let me know. I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. You can find Roy Samanti, the keeper of the list, right? You can find him at Dogmatic67 on X. That's DAWGMATIC67. And find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. Just hit subscribe, and you can even follow him on Twitter, too. Roy's not going to tweet out pictures of his food or anything like that. There's no silliness involved with Roy Samanti on X. So you're free. Right? And it makes it easier to kind of keep up with our list. He kind of batches them up these days and we get them out for you. So there you go. Gavin Adcock, top 10. All right. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. A Starkvillian institution is Campus Bookmart. They have what we want, right? Every Mississippi State fan wants and needs more Mississippi State gear, whether it's apparel, whether it's decorative wall pieces, whether it's knickknacks, whether it's everything you need. Everything you need to detail out your fan cave and let the world know that you are true maroon. You can find it at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does such an amazing job outfitting that operation with the things that we want and need. They know what true maroon is there. You don't want to go to some third-party operation and order everybody some Mississippi State gear for the family vacation and it shows up crimson. That's an unfortunate turn of events. And then you don't know what to do, right? You want to return it, but you don't. Like, let's just make the best of it. No. No, you deserve the best, and you're going to find the best at Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. However, if you can't make it to town, but you'd love to support a Starkville business, and we're big fans of that, visit them online at campusbookmart.net and use promo code BSR to get free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Campus Bookmart, the name to know in Mississippi State merch. Okay. It's the second big official visit weekend of the 2026 process. And so I thought we'd kind of preview kind of what we're looking at. We got 16 confirmed visitors. There may be a 17th. We're just kind of waiting to work through that. So just be prepared. There may be another visitor. We are aware who he is, and we'll let you know how things go. Okay, and I'm not going to sit here and like characterize that as some mystery visitor that's got five stars next to his name. That's not the case. It just happens to be a player that we've been on for a little while now, and he was kind of undecided about the visit. So we'll let you know about that. But here are your 16 confirmed visitors. And everybody's on campus now. 247 Sports four-star interior defensive lineman Danny Beal from Cross County High School in Cherry Valley, Arkansas, is your most highly regarded visitor this weekend at a position of need. Now, he is a guy that's got 30-plus offers. Let's see, he's visited Arkansas, North Carolina, Ole Miss, Oklahoma State. He'll visit Mississippi State and then prepare to make a decision sometime soon. I can't tell you how this thing is going to go, but it's big and it's important to get him on campus. I also know it's very difficult to beat the Razorbacks for a home state prospect that they really want. And the fact that they brought him in for a visit should tell you a lot. But 6'3 and a half, 315, a big-bodied interior guy, could play on the nose, perhaps play a shade. You love guys like that. Kayvon, and I know I'm going to butcher this because I haven't spoken to him. Rion's kept up with him. It's Kayvon Consario. I know I'm wrong there. He's friends with Brody McWhorter out of Cass High School. Brody, your quarterback, going to be on campus this weekend trying to recruit Kayvon to Mississippi State. He is another guy very, very highly recruited. Comes in as an 88, just short of being a four-star with 247 Sports. From Houston County High School there in Warner Robins, Georgia, we've had some success there in recent years. You know, State got Isaiah Mitchell and Ricky Johnson, both out of Houston County, and the staff is really high on Ricky Johnson. We think he's going to be a big part of things. So hopefully those two guys have had a good experience with the Mississippi State staff. You know, we flipped Isaiah Mitchell from Cincinnati late last year. We flipped Ricky Johnson from Stanford late 2 years ago. So clearly Coach Bumpus has done a good job with those receivers down there. But, again, we think Ricky's going to be a big part of things this year. And Isaiah Mitchell going to absolutely run. So Kayvon, a big part of things. And, again, we'll roll out the big maroon carpet and see if we can't get him to get in the boat sooner rather than later. He has a commitment date of July 11th. So even if he commits this weekend, he won't announce until July 11th. One of the more intriguing guys to me, and I think that his offer sheet dwarfs his ranking. He's rated an 87, but he's got, I think, 32 offers right now. We're talking Cottrell Webb here, another guy that has taken several visits, highly recruited guy, plays an edge. He's a little bit of a tweener at 6'3", 245, but he does have really good length. He's out of Collinsville High School in Sewanee, Georgia. He will visit us and then head to Florida State. He's been to Stanford, Purdue, and Indiana, and then he'll go to Mississippi State this weekend, and then we'll see what happens with Florida State. But again, 6'3", 235, but a little more of a rangy body type there. But I think that he's a guy that stays at a 7, right? He has an explosive first step, but you see that 235, and then you see him on the field on video. He looks a little thicker than that. Dalton Toothman, offensive lineman from Van Cleve, Mississippi. I believe this is an Auburn and Mississippi State battle. He's visited Ole Miss. He says he's going to take all of his visits. He's been to Clemson. Auburn has done a good job with him, as has Mississippi State. Now, I've been told a couple times from my friends in OS who are connected to Dalton that he's been very close at times to committing to Mississippi State. But he wanted to honor his word and take all of his visits before he made a decision. I know that Ole Miss had some confidence early on. I'm told that they're not really the factor that they think they are. We do believe it's down to Auburn and Mississippi State. I would lean more towards Mississippi State right now, but I'm not ready to call it. Darrell Rivers, I spoke to him shortly after he got his offer from Mississippi State. I really like him as a person. I think his film matches my opinion of him personally. I think he would be a great Bulldog. He's out of McCurchin High School in Powder Springs, Georgia. They have historically produced some really good defensive linemen. He calls himself Hawk, and it's interesting. When I first interviewed Darrell, his mom wanted to listen in. It was the first time he'd ever done an interview. And on his Twitter profile, it says Darrell Hawk Rivers. I said, do you want me to call you Darrell or call you Hawk? And his mom busted out laughing. She said, just call him Darrell. So I don't know where Hawk comes from. But 6'5", 271, he's listed it as an edge. However, I think he is a guy that will probably be a five-tack and a true defensive end. You could probably stand him up in some scenarios, but this is a guy, once he gets in a college weight room, is probably going to be weighing, you know, 285, 290 fairly quickly. A guy, again, great tape, great personality, another guy, too, that's highly recruited. When you look at Darrell Rivers' profile, and you can look at a lot of this stuff over at 247 Sports, whether you subscribe to us or not, he is a guy that we think a little bit more of. He will visit Tennessee next weekend. He's been at Georgia Tech, been to Rutgers. You worry a little bit about Georgia Tech. You always worry about the home state school. And Coach Key and those guys did a really good job last year. And we've seen some guys recently that we were on from the state of Georgia opt for Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech becoming a little more formidable is a recruiting school in the Southeast. You know, for years, you kind of worried about Georgia and you felt head-to-head you could beat Georgia Tech, but they're doing a really good job keeping guys closer to home. So that's something we'll watch. Camden Capehart is a guy that committed to state very early on, arguably the fastest player in Texas. And he is a track star, won the state championship, I think, three straight years, including this year. And a guy that we were on early, and then Oklahoma State got on him, Florida State got on him. He took a visit to Florida State, came back from Tallahassee and says, hey, I'm locked in. I'm locked in with Mississippi State. He is a guy, not the biggest guy. However, he is a guy in this offense that I think can be a difference maker. If you watch his film, there are sometimes he gets triple coverage. You know, so they need some players at Winsboro High School out there in Texas to kind of step up and hold defenses accountable, to keep them honest. Because you run a slip screen to Camden Capehart, he makes the first guy miss at the touchdown. Nobody is going to catch him in the open field. He is one of those guys where the track speed translates well to the football field. I think it's a great early get for Mississippi State, and I think Oklahoma State, Florida State, and others that have come on him late, it just kind of verified State made a good evaluation here. Offensive tackle Charles Humphrey, a huge guy, and he has absolutely made it apparent that Mississippi State is his favorite school. And he's out of Knoxville, Tennessee. State was on him early. I give Cody Kennedy a lot of credit here. Cody Kennedy found him, offered him, got him to campus, and really set the tone for Humphrey. Phil Lodeholt comes in. You wonder if he's going to share the same evaluation. He's done a really good job. Humphrey coming in this weekend. I will not be the least bit surprised if he commits to Mississippi State this weekend. I think there's a good chance that happens. I think it's one of those scenarios where if Cody Kennedy had not been replaced, and I'm not advocating for Cody, who I think is a great guy. I think Phil Lodeholt will do a better job when it comes to recruiting. I think you saw that in the spring portal. Nothing against Cody, but a lot of times these guys kind of recruit in their own image. Cody, a little bit undersized guy himself, kind of went with more of those chip-on-your-shoulder, junkyard dog types. Where Phil Lodeholt, kind of recruiting in his own image, gets the big, long-rangey offensive lineman that can hurt people. Charles Humphrey fits that mold. 6'7", 295 pounds right now. I can only begin to imagine what he will look like after a couple years in a college weight room. And I don't care what his ranking shows. This is a guy that can play. Garrett Weatherington out of Briarwood Christian in Alabama. A guy that stayed offered, 6'5", 265. Another guy that I think is going to be the traditional five-tech type defensive end that plays with his hand in the ground. He'll be a 290-pounder in no time. It looks to be maybe a Mississippi State Vanderbilt type thing. Academics are a big part of things with him and his family. He's working through the process. He's been to Penn State. He's taken a few trips out to various schools. So he's made the rounds and will make an informed decision. Not exactly sure when he makes the call. He would be a good get. And I think one of the things that's probably that I am encouraged about is how many good defensive linemen that we've been on that other Power Four schools have been on as well. Cameron Brown committed to State during the Junior Day trip. He went out here and he goes, you know what, it felt like home. He has been true maroon ever since. And you worry about these out-of-state commitments early. You wonder if they don't get caught up in the moment, and at times they do, right? It's the process is new for them. They're young. They're impressionable. And you wondered if Cameron Brown wasn't one of those guys that maybe is caught up in the moment. But here we are, all these months later, he remains committed. We'll take the official to Mississippi State. At this point, no plans to visit other schools. I think him being here around some other commitments will be good. And we'll have four commitments on campus this weekend, three of them officially. And, of course, Brody McWhorter will come in unofficially. He's here every weekend, kind of help leading the charge when it comes to recruiting. And he'll be in for his official visit next weekend. Colby Barrett out of Baylor School, had a chance to talk to him when he first got his offer. We thought he would commit on his visit. Well, he didn't wait. He's actually been committed now for a couple weeks. He says, you know what, I'm just ready to get it done. You know, we called him to preview the visit after he set it up, and he goes, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and commit on Saturday. Didn't he want to wait? 6'2", 190 pounds, and what's interesting about him is his coach is named Eric Kimry. Now, if that name means something to you, it probably should. If you're a longtime Mississippi State fan, you remember that trip that we took to Columbia, South Carolina, and we knocked Phil Petty out of the game. And on fourth and long, they bring in Kimry, and he throws the fade, and we get beat on the fade there. They ultimately go on to win the game. Kind of changed the complexion of our season. That's who Colby plays for. But Colby Barrett, watch his tape. I think you'll like him. And again, a guy, too, that has been very bullish on Mississippi State from the beginning. Matt Barnes has done a really good job with him. Another safety to watch is Jax Pope, the younger brother of Jake Pope, who used to play at Georgia and Alabama. And if that name sounds familiar, Jake Pope was the one that was caught on video, like celebrating with some Mississippi State folks, and it was a former teammate of his. And Kirby Smart called him an idiot. Next thing you know, he transfers, you know. And now he's at UNLV, but this guy's from a football family. Jax Pope is a guy I really like. He's not quite as big as his brother, but he plays big. 6 foot, 180 pounds, probably 195 about 6 months after he gets on campus, and he's still a growing boy. He could be 6'1", too. But he is a guy, too, that I'm told is extremely intelligent and has a high football IQ, so he could be a guy to kind of be your quarterback on the back half defensively. Jaden Ross, really like him. Now, he is very raw, but there is a lot to work with here. 6'6", 315 pounds in your home state, attends Ocean Springs High School. He's a Greyhound. We've had some success over the years at OS. OS is a school that has historically done a good job putting guys on the college level at various degrees, right? Some junior college guys, some G5 guys. But it is a program that has a very solid tradition. And Jaden Ross offered pretty early on. We make the change in the guard. Phil Oldholt goes out there, and then things have kind of intensified with him a little bit. There is a good chance that he flips. He's currently or was committed to Sacramento State and then decommitted. I think there's a really good chance that he is a Bulldog between now and Sunday. He tweeted out three Bulldog emojis earlier, kind of signifying his arrival. But had some correspondence with him earlier in the day, and I do believe there is a chance that he's a Bulldog. And when you're taking as many offensive linemen as we are in this class, you're going to have to get some guys that are somewhat developmental. And just about every high school offensive lineman fits that category. He is a little rawer than most because he doesn't have a lot of competition that matches his size. So he's kind of getting by on being bigger, stronger, and kind of being that bully. Got to refine the technique a little bit. but he doesn't have any issues that college coaching can't fix. Tight end Luke Hutchinson met him last year. His dad played in the NFL with Coach John Cooper at Mississippi State. Luke and his mom were on campus. Mom saw me with a camera and said, "Do you mind getting a picture of my son?" Happy to do it. He didn't have a profile page set up. He actually reclassed. He was supposed to be a 2025 guy. He reclassed for 2026, and his recruitment kind of exploded. Right at 6'4", 240 pounds out of Montgomery Bell Academy there in Nashville. A lot has happened with him. He's supposed to visit Texas A&M next weekend. He is a guy that we expect will take all of his visits before deciding. Dylan Steen of St. Thomas Aquinas, from a football family. He'll be the third college offensive lineman in his family. Blake Steen, his older brother, transferred from Virginia to Mississippi State back during the spring. Blake, of course, one of the top offensive linemen in the spring portal. Dylan comes on the visit, gets offered 6'5", 295 pounds. And he is a guy, too, that maybe doesn't have the notoriety of his brothers. But when you look at the raw materials there, there is a lot to work with. It'll be interesting to kind of see what happens with him. Maurice Jones Jr., out of Dr. Phillips in Orlando, Florida. Maurice is a guy that we like, and he appears to like Mississippi State a lot, too. I won't be surprised if he commits, too. One of the things I'll say about this particular group in Mississippi this year, I don't know that we have a ton of linebackers, so probably going to have to go out of state to get one or two. Maurice may be one of them. And matter of fact, let me just go ahead and just plug in my crystal ball pick right now. Let's do it right now. We're going to go ahead and pick Mississippi State. You hold my hand. Let's do it together. We'll do confidence level 9. How about that? Yeah, confidence level 9. All right, so Maurice Jones Jr. now projected to commit to Mississippi State. And he is a guy, too, that has a lot of options. And you like the fact that guys from out of state love Mississippi State. And again, out of Orlando, Florida, 14 offers right now, mainly from the G5. But I do think Mississippi State would probably be wise to take him. 6'3", 210 pounds. Can really run, no aversion to contact. As we say in the industry, he's got contact courage. And you like that, right? Marshall Smith out of Collierville, Tennessee. 6'5", 245 pounds. Could be an edge. Could be a traditional five tech. We'll see how things go. He's another guy that's got, over a dozen offers, mainly from the G5. UNLV is on him. He's visited there. He's supposed to visit Memphis next week, but I feel like if State pushes for a commitment this weekend, they'll get one, and that visit will be canceled. So that's your 16 right there, just to kind of give you an idea. We'll have full coverage as we get into Sunday. And in case you missed it too, Adam Land, tight end from Mosley High School. That's the same high school that Laquavian Jackson, or Lojack as we call him, hailed from as well. That's a John Cooper get too. Land 6'4", 215, 220, tight end prospect. Will probably need a year in the weight room to get bigger, faster, stronger. This has not come as a surprise. He was a guy that we've been expecting to commit to Mississippi State for some time. But that's finally done. He will officially visit next weekend. Right now, we've got about 16 set up. We will adjust that list as we get in. Beginning of this week, we were expecting 18 or 19 for State. And then Prince Jean, or Jean, depending on your pronunciation guide, committed to Kentucky. And then Jaden Dunbar committed to Pitt. Both canceled their visits to Mississippi State. And that happens a lot. A lot of guys lock in these visits during the spring because everybody's jockeying for position because you only got a few weekends to get it done. And guys are making these decisions in the summer. And so if you don't get it done, you get it set up, you're never going to get them. And then guys take visits, they make commitments, and then they cancel visits, and then schools get commitments, and then they in turn cancel visits. So then guys are kind of scrambling a little bit to fill out their dance card. And so there may be some guys that weren't originally planning to visit next weekend that end up visiting next weekend, guys that we have been in pursuit of. And so that's just kind of something to consider. And these official visits are very important. A lot of people don't understand the difference between an official and an unofficial visit. So I'll kind of break it down like this. Like Brody McWhorter from Cartersville, Georgia. He will be an unofficial visitor this weekend. What that means is that he will pay his own way, right? He gets no money for travel. He will pay for his own hotel room. He'll pay for his own meals. Now, he can eat with the team, but he has to make a payment that has to be documented, right? But he can still hang with the players as they take their tours. They go out with their host. The official visitors, everything is on us, right? So that includes travel, hotel accommodations, food, everything. Everything is on us. So if you are an official visitor, you're a guest of the university, and the university pays for the entire visit. If you decide you commit this weekend, you want to come back next weekend and recruit, you're welcome to come, but you have to pay your way. That's how that works. So unofficial visitors come at their own expense, while official visitors, there's no expense. And if you drive, you get paid mileage. If you fly, we buy the plane ticket. You know, that's kind of how that works. And so guys will go through tours. Typically on Saturday, they spend some time at Coach Levy's house. That's how we did it last year, to kind of make it more of a family type deal. They'll have some local restaurants or cater meals and things of that nature. If I remember last year, Spotlight Cafe did it one day, I think, and then maybe WTF did another one. I think that's right. But anyway, they bring the food in, so it's great business for our Starkville businesses, and they just have a great time. And so you want to roll out the big maroon carpet and show everybody what this is all about. They'll have meetings with their coaches. They'll break down film. They'll say, hey, this is the position that we project you to play, and this is how we do it. And this is who played it last year. This is how it's done. And sometimes they'll even watch their film, and they'll break that down and say, hey, here's something you can do to improve for next year. All those things are important. And there'll be some guys that we ask to commit and some guys that we don't. There may be some guys we need to further evaluate. There may be some guys out there that want to take other visits. Maybe they love Mississippi State, but perhaps they've made a promise to another coach and say, you know what, coach, I'm going to announce on this day, I love it here, probably going to come here, but I want to go take that visit to Alabama or that visit to LSU before I do anything. And so all of those things are factors. You don't commit everybody that visits, and not everybody that visits wants to commit. There are some people that get here and they say, you know what, hey, it's just too small a town for me. And there are other people that get here and say, it's exactly what I'm looking for. Starkville's not for everybody, but neither is Baton Rouge. You know, neither is Tuscaloosa, for that matter. You know, and so it's not always about the town. Like I read all the time, people say, well, Starkville kind of holds us back. I think Starkville kind of pushes us forward, to be honest, because you want the right kids. And the reality of it is if we had a Dippin' Dots, do you think that's going to help recruiting? You know, it's one of the things that I heard from some people on Mullen's staff. It's like, wait, we don't even have a shopping mall. And I would say that's less of a factor now than it ever has been. I can't remember the last time that I went to a mall. It's been a couple years. You know, like when we go up and visit the family in Northwest Arkansas, we may go up there to Riders or Bentonville and walk around one of those outside malls. But, I don't shop malls. I shop online. I don't have time. I wish I did. I don't have time to go wander around and find things. I go find things online. I order them. They don't fit. I ship them back and get a replacement, you know. And so there are a lot of people that make excuses. And that's one of the things that I pointed out back then, is that it only felt like in football recruiting that not having a place to go buy a polo shirt that didn't have a Mississippi State logo only affected football. Right? It didn't stop baseball recruiting. It didn't stop basketball recruiting. It certainly didn't stop Vic Schaefer on women's basketball recruiting. So, you know, why do those things only apply to football, right? That's the way that I look at it. And I know a lot of places that have a lot of shopping options, places that I wouldn't want to send my kid to school. And so there's a trade-off in all that. And, again, there are people out there that's like, oh, you know, this is, you know, Starkville's holding us back. And, listen, I love it here. I'm a Mississippi State guy through and through. And, you know, granted, I lived in Baton Rouge for many years, so my kids, you know, they could go to – you know, go out there to Perkins Row and all that kind of stuff. And you had multiple movie theaters and things of that nature. I get it when you got small kids, but there are a lot of people that think, you know what, hey, I would rather have the small town community. One of the things that excited me is when we got ready to move here, all of my kids except for Ronnie we're still living at home. And I thought, I'm excited that my kids get the opportunity to do both. They've lived in the bigger city. They've had the convenience of that, but now they'll have the community feel of a place like Starkville. And so when they get ready to make their own decisions about life, they'll have some personal reference in all of that. And I'm glad they've had those experiences too. I grew up in Columbia, Mississippi, where anything north of Jackson felt like a foreign country. You know, of course, back then everything was two-lane roads, and you get behind a logging truck or somebody hauling a trailer, and it's going to take you all day to get there. But I remember being a kid, you know, going to the planetarium or the zoo or something, and we thought that was the greatest thing ever. It was a great place to visit. It's not even a place that I'd maybe want to live, right? And so that's the fun in all that stuff, is kind of figuring life out for yourself. And the thing that I think about too, and I go back to something Sylvester Croom said to me. He talked about young people changing their family tree forever. And I've never forgotten this speech, and I've shared it many times with young people. There were so many young people in small town Mississippi that used sports to pay for their education. And there are many young athletes that they are the first in their family to go to college. And as Coach Croom said, he goes, you know, if these guys don't go to college, what are their dating options? They don't get an education, what are their working options? And that's not in any way to diminish the accomplishments of anybody that didn't get a college degree. I didn't get one either. And now I own two businesses, right? I guess two and a half, technically. But when it's all said and done, you got to work a lot harder in life. The next part of that, as Croom said, well, who's he going to date? Well, if he goes to college, chances are he's going to date a college girl, right? Or a young lady, and both of them get degrees. Well, then what happens? The expectation for their children is to go to college and get an education. And so in turn, they change the family tree. They change the expectations of the family. It's bigger than sport. And there are a lot of people out there, and I deal with them all the time, that love the small town charm of a place like Starkville. They feel safe here. I know there are a lot of parents out there that love the fact they get in a small town feel, a place where everybody loves Mississippi State. I'll give you a great example, Ace Reese. Ace Reese is from Canton, Texas on I-20. Went to Houston. Got to the big city of Houston, felt like a fish out of water. Comes to Mississippi State, where everything revolves around Mississippi State and Starkville. And everywhere you go, people know your face, they know your name. And you feel like you're important here. I mean, Cougar baseball is not a big deal in Houston, Texas, right? You got the Houston Texans. You got the Houston Astros. You may be a celebrity on campus. You're not a celebrity in the city. You're a celebrity here. You're a celebrity in the entire state here. And that matters. You talk about branding. Whether you go pro baseball or not, people know your name. Everybody in this state that follows college athletics knows who Ace Reese is. So you think when Ace Reese gets done and he decides to go get a job, maybe he goes down there and applies for a job in Madison, Mississippi, or in Birmingham, Alabama, or even Memphis, Tennessee. He already has built a brand. So there's name recognition. You don't get to do that at the University of Houston. It just didn't work that way. I mean, they probably have 200 fans at a game. And think about this. If you were the hiring manager and Ace Reese applies for that job, you're going to interview that guy, right? If nothing else, just to exchange some stories with him. And so I think it's important that we look at things in their totality and not just how it impacts maybe their college career, but the rest of their life. That's one of those things you have to sell. And that's something that we can sell that many other places can't. I mean, I even think about schools within this conference. Right? Outside of maybe 1,000 to 2,000 people, do you think most people know who the backup catcher is at the University of Georgia? Right? Now, you probably know who the holder is on the football team, but maybe you don't know who the backup catcher is. Every one of you guys know the entire depth chart at Mississippi State for the catchers. And you know that right now we don't have any scholarship catchers. You are aware of that. And so I think we have a unique advantage because we don't have pro sports here. Because you do become a statewide hero. You do have statewide recognition. And maybe you don't have that at other places. And again, I think that's one of the values in the Mississippi State experience that kind of sets us apart from some other places. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, without any question, is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you're bringing a large group to town, and you should, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is for you. Out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, you can do your tailgating right there. Save yourself a lot of time and trouble. And the convenience of being just 5 minutes away, how cool is that? Not to mention, you do your tailgating there, you don't have all the interlopers, right? Right? Kind of part of the deal. And so I share that with you because we have stayed there. We have stayed there and had a great time. Stayed there for New Year's, had all the kids, the grandkids there with us, made some incredible memories. And kids, you're not getting any younger. You're not getting any younger at all. And you need to make sure that you make some memories and let people know how much you love them. And the way you spell love is T-I-M-E. Spend time with your family. When you get to the end of this thing, you're not promised that bedside vigil and you look around and tell everybody you love them. You better do it while you're living and they're living, right? I hate to sound morbid in that respect, but, you know, life is fleeting. It certainly is. Now, you get the full-service bar, you get the full-service kitchen, you get the back porch area, the fire pit area, and again, very easy to get to just out past the Highlands. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can see pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, and some booking options pop up too. Those booking options are important. Now, you can go through Airbnb or VRBO, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. Yeah, the normal one, plus 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay by booking through the Evolve website. They're open 365 days a year. Be the linchpin in your friend and family group and plan a great trip with everybody together under one roof at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Let's talk a little baseball before we get out of here. First game of the College World Series in the books is Coastal Carolinas. The Chanticleers take down Arizona 7-4. A game-ending double play winds it up. What's that, 24 straight games? Pretty crazy. And as we're finishing up recording here, got a pretty good one going right now between Oregon State and Louisville. And so we'll finish this up and go watch that, you know, and finish it up and be excited about that. Mississippi State also picked up a commitment today, another pitcher from the Citadel. And it's interesting, you know, Chris Lemonis played at the Citadel. We took Sawyer Reeves last year. And it's funny, some people were kind of critical of that. And I remember when Sawyer had to sit a while, some people took some glee in that misfortune. And then Sawyer came back and really was the player we thought he was through the fall. Yeah, I remember telling you guys on the show, he's just a ball player. And with Dylan Cup injured and rehabbing in the fall, we saw Sawyer Reeves take the lion's share of the reps at short. And then down the stretch, you got to see Sawyer Reeves be Sawyer Reeves, the Sawyer Reeves we expected to see. And so we're right back in there. Lemonis no longer making the call here, but Justin Parker goes right back into the Citadel and recruits a player that he recruited when he was at South Carolina. So relationships are important. Maddox Webb, a right-handed pitcher from Somerville, South Carolina, goes to the Citadel and spent the 24th season as the closer, a traditional closer. Kind of, you know, took some time to kind of get going, but there's a lot to like about him, and there's some things that I think that can be kind of rounded into shape for us. But he was a big-time player. He was a big recruit, ends up going to the Citadel, and it's a little different deal there. You know, you've got all of this, you know, military training and things you have to do. It's not just going to school and then working for baseball. And PT is much different than baseball training. And so I think getting away from PT and getting into a more baseball-specific workout will be good for him. This past year, he was named first-team All-SoCon as a relief pitcher. And what's interesting about him, too, and I don't know that many of you guys have done your research, and that's okay. That's kind of my job here, too. But he is a guy that pitched extensively. 4-1 record, 5 saves, 55 and two-thirds of an innings pitched. Now, allowed right at just under a hit per. That's got to get better. You know, that's got to get better. And down the stretch, too, like he gave up 8 hits against South Carolina, against Western Carolina, gave up 6 against East Tennessee. But, of course, you know, those were a little bit elongated appearances. But you go back and you look at earlier in the year, he went 2 scoreless against South Carolina. Now, they lost that ball game, but wasn't his fault. He struck out 3, walked 2, but no hits. No hits. No runs scored, earned or otherwise. He goes against Clemson, one of the better teams in the ACC, because you say, well, it's Steve, South Carolina. I mean, everybody pitched well against South Carolina. Well, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Clemson, and many of you wanted to hire their coach, he gives up 3 hits and 1 run in a 3-inning appearance against Clemson, strikes out 5, walks 2. Now, my concern about him, the walks are a little bit higher than I would like, right? And I think some of that, too, is because of the fact he hadn't had a guy like Justin Parker. You know, they had a coaching change during his career there at the Citadel, but the raw materials are there. He's 93-95, throws the fastball, slider. And I suspect you'll see Justin Parker kind of work in that sinker, which has kind of been his trademark. You know, when you look at some of the guys he turned around in his career, a lot of it's been because of that sinker that he himself had a lot of success with as a player, and he's taught guys how to throw it. But 61 strikeouts and 34 walks. The walks have to come down, and he had more walks than runs scored, but I wonder how many of those walks came around to score. I can't have a guy on the back end walking people. As we discussed before, when you walk the leadoff hitter in the ninth in a tie ball game or with a one-run lead, he scores 675,000% of the time, all percentages approximate. But that's how it feels. You bring in your closer, he walks the first guy, it's like, here we go again, right? So we can't have that. But I have enough faith in Justin Parker to bring the best out of this young man. He is a guy that wants to play in the major leagues, and he felt like he needed to leave the Citadel. You can read his first comments since making his decision over in an interview at jeanspage.com. We're able to get him on the phone about 20 minutes after he announced his decision, and very grateful for our sources in that respect to be able to get us in contact with him. But another piece of the puzzle is now in place, and we're going to have to get some arms. We do expect another baseball commitment. We're waiting on for the young man to announce, and he may have announced while we're recording the show. Who knows? But he is already committed. He just hasn't announced. And one of the things, for those of you that follow baseball recruiting, you know this, it's a little more of a gentleman's game in that respect. You know, most guys don't put their offers out there. And it's weird how everybody kind of abides by that. But the majority of these players, especially the schools that they have set up official visits with, they call those coaches to give them the word in person, or at least over the phone, rather than just letting them find that on the internet. Now, I suspect a lot of coaches would probably find either way, but there is a way that baseball players kind of handle things. They call them and say, hey, coach, I want you to know, I'm going to be signing with Mississippi State. I want to thank you for recruiting me. It's just an interesting dynamic in recruiting that really doesn't exist in other sports. There are some football guys that will do that, but it's kind of a rarity, you know. And the truth of the matter is I think a lot of coaches, they understand how things work. And so it's not that big a deal, I guess, in that respect. But I do think, again, there is still that gentlemanlike quality when it comes to baseball recruiting that they may commit and even sign, but wait and have their paperwork processed after they have had the opportunity to tell the other schools. And so Maddox Webb committed on his visit. We had 3 visitors in town earlier this week. 2 of those 3 have already committed. We do expect the 3rd one to announce for Mississippi State. That's interesting, right? Looks like we're being very efficient. You know, we're bringing guys in that we feel like we have a very reasonable chance to close out. And Maddox is a guy, too, that had multiple visits set up after Mississippi State. And you can only begin to imagine, in all due respect to the Citadel, when you see their facilities, you know, we played there a couple years ago. If you're used to that, and then you come to this grand hall of a baseball park that we have, you're going to be blown away. You know, there's no sticker shock involved in all that. Because, like, what you mean to tell me? I'm going to get a scholarship to come play here, and these are the facilities and the amenities that I get to utilize every single day. Are you kidding me? Yeah, where do I sign, coach? You know, I don't need to go visit TCU, right? And so, especially when you have guys that you're not competing with the home state school, right? I mean, like, if Clemson had come after him, you'd say, you know what? Hey, he's probably going to go visit Clemson. And that may be a bad thing. I wouldn't worry as much about South Carolina. They've got like 10 guys in the portal, and everybody's raving about that. I don't think it's a very good portal haul. You know, and what I mean by that is South Carolina's had so many guys go in the portal. Yes, they're going to sign a bunch of guys. And it's going to be quantity over quality in many respects. All due respect, they've had some good players go, but not a lot of them. And so you got to have somebody, right? And so as I've mentioned on this show, I think this class in the portal will be a bit of an outlier for Coach O'Connor. As we've mentioned, the last 2 years combined at Virginia, he signed 10 players, five in each class. He wants to do it the high school recruitment and development way, and he just will probably sign 8 to 10 high school kids a year and hope to keep them here and kind of supplement in the portal. But this year, he's bringing some of his players in, having to kind of get the roster where he wants it to be. And so I think next year, we may not be quite as bullish in the portal. We have a war chest to work with, as you guys are well aware. It's been well documented that Mississippi State is spending money on baseball. And the thing that I go back to with all of this, and it's not about assigning motive or even blame or anything like that. There's a lot of that goes on. And I read this stuff a lot, and I wish we could simply move forward. The reality of it is Chris Lemonis is no longer our coach. The budget that we had for 2025 is going to be dwarfed by the one we have in 26. So rather than saying, hey, we should have spent more, and we should, it's not about what didn't happen or happened. It's about what's happening now. Now, we can learn from the past, right? And let me assure you of this. There are some people within our fan base that want us to de-emphasize baseball. I think they're wrong. They're entitled to their opinion, but I believe they're wrong because that is where our biggest athletics branding has been historically, since the creation of the university, right? And that's, and you may not like it, but that's the reality of things, right? I mean, you didn't come to Mississippi State maybe to be a doctor or be a lawyer. You know, you knew you were going to go somewhere else. Maybe you came here to get your undergrad, but you came to a baseball school. And I know some people don't like it when I say that, but listen, we love football. We've got to be committed to football. Football takes care of everything else. But the reality of it is, if you ask anybody in the Southeastern Conference and say, hey, what's the strongest sport at Mississippi State? Without question, they're going to tell you baseball. And it's the one thing that we have proven that we can consistently compete on a national level, and we have to continue to do so. I know many of you are thinking, you know, hey, you know, one recruiting class in men's basketball could change everything. And I agree that it can change a lot, but it's not going to erase the fact that we have not won an NCAA tournament game in forever and a day. It's not going to erase the fact that we really didn't have a ton of tradition in men's basketball before Babe got here. And if you recall, if you've read The Dude, you know this, we hired Paul Gregory as the coach in waiting, and we parked him down in men's basketball, let him coach men's basketball until the time came to promote Doc Patey, to be the executive secretary of the athletic department. Once we found the money to do that, we moved him upstairs in administration. Then we moved Paul Gregory in to be the baseball coach. And so that's kind of how it's always been. That's not to say that maybe we made some decisions that were detrimental to men's basketball, because we did. And I sometimes struggle to consider, even with this house settlement thing, which I think is a great thing for Mississippi State. I don't think NIL in its current function was a great thing for Mississippi State. I think, you know, the salary cap thing is going to be, the rev share thing is going to be important because schools are paying for a lot of this stuff. But all of that understood, I wonder about some of our other sports. You know, I read something recently. I think Stephon Krasnick had it. Ohio State is committing more NIL to volleyball because they want to be good in volleyball. You know, we talked about Virginia's issues, and of course, they have raised some capital. They've kind of changed their own funding for baseball. They're putting a lot of money in swimming, too, because they want to be good in swimming. They have an Olympic-caliber diving and swimming program. We don't have those. And so we can allocate more resources for baseball. But I begin to wonder, especially about women's sports, and that's why I think these Title IX lawsuits are going to be interesting. What did it take, 4 or 5 days? The House settlement ruling was made, and then I think the lawsuit was filed Tuesday. I think that's right. The first of many, that women athletes aren't getting a big enough piece of the pie. And so what does that mean going forward? The House settlement was really not an end game. It was kind of the beginning of an end game. You had to get a ruling in place, and then people can kind of adjust, and then there'll be other lawsuits. And the thing that I go back to, it's just incredible to me, is that the NCAA is a voluntary organization. No one is required to play college sports. Nobody. Nobody says, hey, you're going to attend LSU? Well, you got to play football. Hey, if you're going to get an education here, you have to play. Nobody's required to play. It is a privilege to play. And when you sign up to play, it's okay, well, here are the rules for composition. And you know what? Since you're going to play, we'll give you a scholarship. We're going to pay for your education. And we'll put a little money in your pocket. But these are the rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can do this. And now all of a sudden, the NCAA can't even enforce its own rules. They can't even enforce their own eligibility standards without it ended up in a courtroom. And everybody knew the rules when they signed up. Again, you don't have to play. And you say, well, you know, we needed to be able to play to pay for education. You can play NIA, right? You can. And so that's the thing that I go back to with all of this. I think sometimes we kind of lose sight on the privilege that it is to play college sports, because senior day is often the last time that many student athletes in high school ever get to play in a game that matters. It's the last game they're ever going to play, in many cases, that people are even going to keep score. It's going to appear in the paper. And for that guy and gal that didn't get that opportunity, it's like, hey, man, they're getting their education paid for, and they're getting all this money, and I got to pay to go to college. If they're unhappy, I'm happy to take that misery off their hands. Now, that's a thing that I think about, you know, having an attitude of gratitude. I think it's so incredibly important. I'm not a Pollyanna. I understand how the world works. But I think it's sometimes we lose sight of how special it is to play college sports. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all of my sports titles, and you can get a copy of When the Bottom Falls. And I think I've gotten a message about that book every day this week. Came out a couple years ago. But I appreciate all the support, and had a great time at the Max. I'm a Max fan, as you guys know. And you guys that live in and around Meridian, if you've not toured the Max, you owe it to yourself to go. Miss Penny does an incredible job. I love having a chance to visit with her. Her passion for that facility is outstanding. The staff there is great. They treat me a lot better there than I deserve, I can promise you. But I went to go hear Michael Ferris Smith speak last night. He is one of my contemporaries, and it's inspiring to hear him speak. He's so involved with so much. He's involved with music and now filmmaking and things of that nature, and he has kind of become the novelist in the state of Mississippi. And even though he and I have shared the bestseller list for the last several years, I had never met him. It always felt like we were always right behind each other. Like I would be at Lemuria, he'd be there 2 weeks later, and I'd be somewhere I couldn't get there. And so I wanted the opportunity to go meet him. So I went down to the Max and heard him speak and talk about his new book, Lay Your Armor Down. I can't wait to read it. I got a signed copy of the book, and I paid for it. But I love the Max for their celebration of Mississippi writers, artists, and contributors. You know, I think it's so important that we celebrate kind of who and what we are. And a lot of people nationally celebrate who and what we are too. But the Max is an incredible facility, and I encourage you to go out. It's summertime, and you're looking for something to do with the kids. You're looking for something to do with yourself. Maybe you got some downtime. Go to Meridian, eat lunch at Wideman's, and then walk down to the Max and go enjoy a taste of Mississippi. Yeah, go do that. I'm telling you, it's a great time. It's a self-guided tour, and a lot of it's interactive. It's incredible. And you walk in there, and it's like, I can't believe this is in Mississippi. And then it's celebrating Mississippi. Speaking of celebrating, you need to celebrate a break. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak to my lovely wife, Dana. She can answer your questions. And you can also book an appointment, or you can book online by downloading the True Rest app. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or pain, or maybe you just need a break, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Been a busy, busy stretch for us. Father's Day is coming up too. Maybe it's time that you get a package. You can call Dana and get hooked up with that too. Come join us over at jeanspage.com. We'd love to have you come be a part of our merry band of misfits. Hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday talking about some official visit reaction and some more baseball commitments. How about that? Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.